Bored with Friends, episode 14. Bored with our kids.
I mean, I'm not allowed to tell that story because Zach wants to stay on topic.
Stay on topic.
All right, well, we got a little off topic.
Again, 40%.
I'm lazy and I'm a mooch. What I do?
This is not that kind of podcast.
Welcome to Bored with Friends, the podcast about hobby gaming and spending time with your children. Maybe not. I'm Zach Dyer, and on today's episode, I have the Beckett to my castle, Vanessa Dyer.
Very nice, and I know you're thinking of that because we just recently watched some Castle. We're trying to catch up. We're like at least two seasons behind.
At least.
By the way, I saw a spoiler on Facebook.
And you should not.
I will not tell you anything, but it's not good. So.
Is there a statute of limitations on spoilers?
I think we're probably outside of the statute of limitations on that.
Because a lot of my friends and co-workers and the other guys on the show, they said I was way out of the statute of limitations on Star Wars spoilers.
I know, but you managed.
I managed.
That was great.
It was great. I was very grateful for everybody who did not spoil me on Star Wars.
Yes.
And I guess it lived up to the hype. I enjoyed it, as I said last episode. But I didn't tell you that. And you watched it with me, and you seemed to enjoy it, too.
I did enjoy it. It was very good.
Well, today's episode, I have Vanessa with me. I dragged her kicking and screaming. That's not true. Actually,
trapped me in our house and said, we're doing this, and set up the microphone, and made me a drink. So I guess it's okay.
if she's a little loose-tongued, it's because I made her a drink.
Yeah.
Actually, there was a big uproar on the internet asking for you to come back to the show.
Yeah, was it Chad?
Yeah, probably because he didn't want to record it, you know?
Was that the uproar?
No.
Nah. He sent you a text message?
he did. He said, I don't want to be on it, make Vanessa do it.
So. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. I enjoy talking to you more than him anyway, so.
I would kind of hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I lived with him for a few years, so. I realized that that's all I could take. Sorry, Walter. Anyway, today's episode is about our kids and playing games with them. And how we deal with that, or rather, you know, how we find ways to, you know, bring younger children into the hobby.
And that's, I think that's an important thing to mention, is that our kids are very young. Our youngest can, she's three, but she can barely play some of the games. She's just not at that level yet. And our older daughter is five, almost six, so, you know, she's starting to get a little bit more into it. But this is, our experience is coming from having young children and playing games.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're developing. You know, we add different levels of complexity to the game. And we've played some more complex games with, especially Lily, our oldest, that I was not expecting her to handle. But she does pretty well with them. And sometimes we adapt the rules and sometimes we don't. You know, I just kicked her butt at Splendor a few hours ago before dinner. That was pretty fun. I don't hold back usually in the games that we play with them, because, you know, I don't think, and I don't know if you do this when you play with them, but I don't like to let them win.
Right.
I don't think that's okay.
Right.
Some people do. You know, that's your prerogative if you want to let your kids win, but I feel like they need to learn that losing can happen, and playing games is a easy way to teach that, because you're kind of passively teaching it to them, I feel.
Right. I think, for me, because I'm very competitive when I play games, I definitely back off a lot when I'm playing with them, but I'm not letting them win. And then also, I think we happen to play a lot of cooperative games when it comes to children's games, which I think are perfect for playing with kids, because it's either you all win together or you all lose together, and that takes that sore loser out of the equation.
Yeah. Some of the games that we play, like Outfox, which I've mentioned on the show before and we'll talk about again later, you know, that's a fully cooperative game.
Yes.
And both our daughters try to get involved with it. You know, our youngest, she has trouble with it, but you know, Lily, our oldest, she's actually really good with it, and she just wants to play it constantly. She really likes that game. And you're right, the cooperative nature of the game allows us to, you know, if we lose, it's okay, we did it together, you know, and we can console each other, like, oh, darn, we lost, but we can try again, and instead of no pointing fingers, no I win dances, and that kind of game.
Right. So, though, there is a, our oldest probably does have an eye, Wendy. In fact, I remember specifically playing a game with her, and I can't remember which game, but she, like, got up and did a dance when she beat me. It was hilarious. It was very, very funny.
Probably Candyland, you know?
I don't know, maybe. But she's definitely a little bit competitive, but, and has, you know, definitely sometimes she's a sore loser. Then again, so am I, so. But she, she's gotten better with time, and part of that is we, you know, we'll tell her that if you're going to be a sore loser, we can't play games, because that's not how you play the games. Mm-hmm. So I think that, because she enjoys playing so much, that's a good ultimatum for her.
I think that's a good point. One of the things I will do is if it's becoming too difficult for her, if she's getting too frustrated with it and, you know, visibly showing it and not having any fun, you have to be prepared to stop the game.
Yes.
I've done that several times with different games that we've played where, you know, I just said, okay, if, you know, we can't handle this right now, we're going to stop. We're going to put the game away. We can come back to it later, or, you know, if you calm down, but that's it, we're done. And usually there's more screaming afterwards. Usually. Because, you know, they want to keep going because they know that it's fun and they can't control themselves as far as, you know, their emotional outburst losing, or their frustration at not rolling the dice correctly, or, you know, to get what they want, whatever it is. But stopping the game lets them know that that behavior is not okay.
Yes. Yeah. No flipping the table.
Yes.
In our house.
You don't want to do that. I don't think they could flip the table.
I don't think they could either. They could maybe flip the board over.
Yeah.
The board to the game over.
Evelyn's thrown some pieces before.
Yeah, yep. There's definitely been some angry throwing, but gotta put the kibosh on that right away.
Mm. Well, bringing them into the hobby has been kind of a level of excitement for me.
Yes.
I feel.
Yes.
Like, I can't wait for them to be able to play with us.
Yes.
So finding kids' games has been kind of a challenge, I feel. Mm-hmm. Because I want to, you know, everybody's heard of Candyland, and everybody's heard of Chutes and Ladders, and Trouble, and, you know, Sorry, games like that, the classics.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them are still okay. Some of them are a slog to get through,
mm-hmm.
I guess would be the term I could use.
Interesting term, but okay.
Well, they're brainless, I feel. Like,
yes.
You know, maybe they're very dated, would be a better way to put it. Like Candyland, for example. Lily really likes that game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if she likes it because it's so colorful and so inviting.
It's also very simple and very easy.
It is.
To play it.
But my problem with the game is there's no choice. And it's the same mentality I have with children's shows. Don't talk down to the kids. I like shows that are well written and, you know, treat kids as, you know, not idiots. I don't like games that do that too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Candyland, it really doesn't teach anything, and it doesn't have any, it doesn't do anything. There's no value to it to me. So there are games that are much better that are just as easy to learn. So, you know, when we had children, and, you know, one of the things that they get for gifts for Christmas or for birthdays or whatever are games. Now, I don't know who gave her Candyland.
I remember, but I'm not going to say, seeing as how you're bashing it over the head with a stick.
Now I remember. But, you know, it's not a fun game to play. But there are games out there that are newer, and that's what we were going to talk about.
Yes.
Are games that are newer that will, you know, not talk down to your kids.
Yeah, and I'm going to play devil's advocate here and say, I mean, even if it's a game that I don't necessarily enjoy playing, I don't necessarily enjoy Candyland. If my child really, really likes the game, mm-hmm. I'm going to play it once in a while. I don't mind owning it. If that's something that she really, really likes. Same thing with kids' shows. There are shows that I feel have better value to them, or that I don't mind sitting down and watching with my kids. And then there are some shows that, you know, drive you nuts. But if it's what they want to watch, And it's not well, when I say not horrible, I mean, like, appropriate.
You had just turned on the TV, and that show just happened to be on, so I'm pretty sure you're lying to me.
Which show?
You know you watch Peppa Pig without...
Oh, I probably would watch Peppa Pig without our children even being in the room. That show is great.
When you get excited for the latest Paw Patrol.
Well, I probably don't get excited for the latest Paw Patrol.
All right, come on. They were flying a jet.
I was really excited about Doc McStuffins adopting the new baby, though. I was right there with my kids, like, waiting for that Friday. All right,
we're off topic.
All right. Okay. Sorry.
Had to happen on this show.
Yeah.
All right.
But if my point is, if it's something that they really like, I don't mind owning it and playing it once in a while, though we tend to gravitate towards other games.
Yeah, and I guess I should apologize for, you know, bashing on it so much. But, you know, my point was, like, there are better games out there for the kids.
Yes.
You know, if you have Candyland, and you probably do, if you have children, you know, and they really want to play it, yes, play it with them. Yep. I will play Candyland with my daughter, and I will...
He will do it rolling his eyes
I will.
And making sarcastic remarks that no one under the age of 10 can understand. It goes right over their heads.
And one day they'll remember and realize how funny I am.
That is hashtag debatable.
But it's, you know, all right, Candyland is, forget about Candyland. You know, she's got quite a collection of games herself. And,
yes.
I might prod her in the direction, oh, well, how about we play this one instead? Or, no, please don't make me play that one again. Like, you know, but there are really good games that she has.
Mm-hmm. So, some of the more classic games that she has, she does have Candyland. She has, I think, more than one version of Hi-Ho Cheerio. And I actually really like playing Hi-Ho Cheerio.
I don't mind Hi-Ho Cheerio.
Yeah.
I don't mind it. There's a lot of... luck. It's all
luck. Oh, it's luck.
It's
yeah.
all luck.
It definitely
Which,
is.
Actually, for a kid, that makes it easier for the more competitive games,
yes.
I feel.
Yeah.
Because you're just spinning a spinner, and you see how many cherries you take, or how many you have to put back. And
right.
sometimes you spill the basket, which really stinks.
And actually, a little off topic, but fine motor skills.
Yes.
That game would definitely be good for it.
Yeah, picking up those cherries and
yeah.
stuff like that.
Yep.
And oddly, I don't know if we just have a very lucky child, but every time I play Hi-Ho Cheerio with
She
Lily,
kicks ass at
she
it.
She really does.
What is
yeah.
that about?
I don't know. She is a champion spinner.
She is very lucky, especially when it comes to spinning.
It's just,
yeah,
she
it's
always
just,
wins.
She, yeah, she's lucky. She's
I
lucky
didn't
rig
the spinner either. All right. I didn't.
I believe you.
Okay.
And then she has... It's not Chutes and Ladders, but it's basically Chutes and Ladders. It's a Disney Slides. Is that the name of it?
It's called Surprise Slides.
Surprise Slides. It's with Disney Junior characters. There's Mickey, Doc McStuffins, Jake, and Sophia.
Yeah.
And if you know who those are, you have young children. And
clearly.
If you don't, you can go ahead and Google it.
If you don't have young children, I don't know why you're listening to this episode.
To listen to us.
Surprise Slides... I think I might actually rather play Candyland.
I would rather play Candyland than that game. Yeah. Oh my, it just drags on.
You know
and
what
on.
Bothered me the most about it? I got stuck in an infinite loop. This is how the game plays, okay? There's a spinner, go figure, and you move your pawn. You get to pick one of the Disney characters, and you're moving along the path, and you're just trying to get to the end. It's a spin and move game. But the cool feature of it, and I'm making quotation marks with my fingers on an audio show, go figure, is that some of the spaces that you get on, or that you spin to, I can't remember which, make you actually take apart the board and move pieces around, which
yes.
is actually really neat.
All right. It would be better if the pieces came out and fit back in easily. It's a chore to change those
yeah,
as
gotta,
often as it comes up.
You gotta pop pieces of the board out.
Ugh.
And you flip them around and you can put them in different directions, so it makes the board actually change. It makes it a modular board for a kid's game, which is pretty neat. The problem is that there's not a whole heck of a lot of choice, and the way the pieces get moved, it can actually put you into an infinite loop,
mm-hmm.
which has happened to me. Multiple times while playing this game, and it makes the game drag on forever, and all you're really trying to do is get to the end of the path, so
right.
which is okay. It's not a whole lot of choice or depth, and I wasn't expecting that from this game, but I guess the reason why I don't like it so much is because when I saw that you were actually taking apart the board and moving pieces around and there was some choice to it, I thought it was actually going to be a good game. And then it turned out to be really obnoxious. But she really likes it, and, you know...
We play it sometimes.
We play it sometimes, yeah. But that is... I would consider it one of the mass market games that she has that is just really not very good. But if she enjoys it, you can play it. I'm being very negative.
You are. Well, let's talk then about games that we do enjoy. And since we didn't write this down. So since we were talking about the fine motor for Hi-Oh Cheerio, I think I want to mention the Sneaky Snacky Squirrel.
Oh.
So I
forgot about that game.
This is a game where you have, not pliers. What is tongs? It's almost, all right. So the squirrel, there's a little squirrel in it and he's almost like tongs. So you put your hands on him, and you can pick up acorns using him, and you pick up the acorn between his hands, and then it's kind of like Hi-Oh Cheerio.
It really is. Yeah. They're color-coded, so when you spin, you get to know which acorn you're picking up, whether it's the purple top one, right. The green one, the orange one,
and you're
whatever.
Trying to get one of each color onto your stump. You have a little stump, and you pick them up with the squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice game, though.
Yeah, it's cute, and it's got some dexterity.
It doesn't drag on,
no,
which is important, I think, in some of these games, that they're quick. Actually, I think that should just be a staple of most children's games, especially for preschool-age children, is that they be quick, because we're talking about attention span of a child, and then an adult playing these games who probably would not elect to play this game if their child was not present.
Yeah.
So I think... You know, 15 the length
minutes
of the
tops,
yeah,
you know, that kind of
yes,
game.
Yes, exactly.
Life.
That makes a huge difference.
Another one that's not on our list, and I just remembered it.
We were talking about a lot. Of stuff,
I know we
folks.
Were.
Buckle up.
Bugs in the Kitchen.
Oh, how can we forget Bugs in
I
the
don't
Kitchen?
Know. Bugs in the Kitchen. I don't remember if I've talked about it on the show before, but I really like this game.
Yeah.
We found it at Target. It's from Ravensburger.
I think that was like a gateway game for her.
It was,
like,
yeah.
One of the first ones that we got her.
And she really likes it. And we haven't been able to play it because the battery died in the bug.
Yeah.
And I got to get new ones.
But I will point out, it took a long time for that battery to die. So that should not be a deterrent for anyone.
So the way the game works is the box is actually the board, which is pretty cool. And
it's practically mess-free.
Yeah. Then
I just keep interrupting you. Another prerequisite... This is what happens when he gets me a drink for this. Another prerequisite for a kid's game is fewer fiddly bits and keeping it clean. It's so nice. It's with the board in the box, you're looking at me like I'm crazy.
I just think it's so cute that you said fiddly bits.
So the board being the box itself, it's so easy to take in and out. It all stays together. Continue, I'm sorry.
Well, the board is the box, basically, and it's a kitchen floor, and on the corners of the box there are little pockets for the bug to go into, and you have a hex bug, which is an actual toy. So the game comes with one hex bug that represents a cockroach, disgusting, I know, but it's robotic, so it's not that creepy looking. And on the kitchen floor are forks, knives, and spoons. And they are all on little pivots so that you can turn them. And you create this maze, and you're trying to manipulate the hex bug to get into either your opponent's chamber or yours. Whichever way you want to play it. Either you're trying to trap it in your spot, or you're trying to get it into theirs, and you earn a point or whatever. It doesn't matter. But you roll a little dice, and it tells you whether you can turn a fork, a knife, or a spoon. And it's just really fast, and it's really fun. I feel.
Yeah.
Because even our youngest can play it.
Right.
You know, she rolls it, she knows exactly what to move, and then usually she, after a little while, she loses attention and just starts moving everything. But Lily, our oldest, plays it really well, and it's fun to play with them, and it can get very exciting. And because it plays
it's
so
fast. It's a
very fast,
high energy game.
Yeah, because you're just like, oh, gotta roll, get that bug, because you could, you know, that bug could be on a straightaway towards, you know, someone's spot, and you want to roll a fork so you can block it and make it go in another direction. Or maybe the bug gets stuck in a wall and it's just not moving the way you want it to go. and the tension gets high and it gets really high energy. And it's a really fun game. I highly recommend that one, even though we didn't put it on the list.
We
haven't played it in a while because the battery's been dead. I blame that.
Yes, certainly.
But, Bugs in the Kitchen. I think you can pick it up at Target.
That's where we got it.
Yeah, we did. But the next game on our list, this one we did remember to put on, this is from Haba Games, Animal Upon Animal.
Can I tell you something?
What?
I haven't said this to you. I'm not really a big fan of that game.
Wow. You chose this moment to reveal
this
to the world.
I choose this moment. I like it for them.
I like that game a lot.
I know you do. I'm not as big a fan as you are.
Why?
I just don't get that into it.
But you get into Candyland?
I don't get into Candyland. I'm not going to say I probably like it more than Candyland. If they want to play it, I'm fine. If you want to play it, I'm fine with it. I just...
Okay.
But...
Yeah, everybody has their own taste, and even if yours is wrong...
But go ahead, tell everyone what Animal Upon Animal is about.
Animal Upon Animal is... you're stacking animals on top of each other, hence the name. It's little wooden bits shaped like animals.
Another good one for fine motor.
Yes, absolutely. There's a big crocodile or alligator. I can never tell the difference, and I'm sure someone with a scientific mind will tell me. That it acts as kind of like the game board, and you roll a die to let you know how many animals you're going to put on the stack. And there's a sheep, a porcupine,
penguin.
A toucan, and a penguin. Yeah, it's all weird-shaped animals. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not the typical ones you would expect, I guess.
And they all have, like, ridges or curves. Hmm. Or, like, almost like hooks,
yeah.
Depending on what animal they are and how they're designed.
And they don't quite fit together perfectly, which makes it even more interesting. And the object of the game is to... You have 7 animals to start, and you are trying to stack them on top of each other. And make... a big tower of animals mm-hmm. on top of this crocodile. If you knock the tower over, you put all the ones except for one back in the box, and you only take one back,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of cool. So it's not a huge penalty if you knock it over. But once you're out of your animals, you win. And I actually have tweaked the rules to this. Like, when I play it with our youngest, I just make it kind of a cooperative. Like, hey, let's try to make the tower as big as possible.
Right.
Or try to get rid of all our animals. Each of us try to get rid of all our animals.
Mm-hmm.
I don't make it competitive with her, because I just want her to play the game and enjoy it.
I think I would enjoy it more if it was just a cooperative game.
Yeah.
I think that's the part that I don't like, is that the winning strategy is a little off, I guess. I don't know. To me, it seems like... you're always going to be neck and neck. Everyone's going to be almost winning. It almost comes down to luck more than anything else. There's not much strategy to it.
Well, no.
Other than the actual physical strategy of putting the animals
there
isn't. On.
Yeah, it's all about the dexterity. But when you roll the die, you can either put one animal on, 2 animals on. You can hand one to somebody else and make them put it on for you.
Right.
Or,
well, but that depends on how you roll the die.
This is true.
Yeah.
The luck element is in the die.
Yeah.
But I do... like playing that one with the girls.
Yeah.
I feel like that one is a good for really young kids.
Mm-hmm.
A good game for really young kids. The, the pieces are, good quality. It's just a really great game, and I've recommended it when I go to different places, our daycare, school, and I just tell people about that for younger kids, because it's just a fun game, and most people have not heard of it, which is a crime, I feel, with Haba Games. Like,
right.
They make really good kids' games,
mm-hmm.
all of their games. I could make a whole list of just Haba Games that I would recommend.
Yeah.
Because I like their stuff so much. But that's Animal Upon Animal. If you're not Vanessa, or if you don't agree with her, you should get that game for your kids.
Even I would recommend that for your kids, even though I don't like it.
Hmm. But it's a simple game that they could play themselves, too.
Right.
So you don't have to play it with them.
Right. Do you want to talk about the Three Little Pigs?
Well, you just brought it up, so how about you talk about it?
All right, great. So the Three Little Pigs... All right, so... Wait, no, you need to get back over here.
Oh, okay.
So, because you know... It's part of, like, a set, right?
It's...
I want you to explain about the books.
Yes.
Okay.
The Three Little Pigs, it's from Yellow. The company Yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Not spelled like the color. It's spelled weird.
Isn't it?
It's like I-E-L-L-O or something. I might be spelling that wrong. But it's from a series of... it's called Tales and Games, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a series of games that take classic stories and they make board games out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And really good board games.
Yes.
We have the Three Little Pigs. We don't have any of the other ones right now. But that is... It comes with a copy of the book. and it comes with all the components to make a really fun game.
And the box that the game comes in looks like a book. So it sits really nice and pretty.
It
does,
yes. It looks really cool on a shelf.
Yeah. So the Three Little Pigs game, what you're doing is you get a few turns to roll a bunch of dice, and you're trying to build houses. And there are, you have to start, well, you don't have to start with a door, right?
You don't have to start with a door. You have to start with a door or a window.
Okay. So there are doors, windows, and roofs in the three components of straw.
Wood.
And brick.
It's been a while since you've read this.
Oh, man. It's been a while since I've played, too. So you get more points for having brick, but it also costs you more die to get the brick elements. Mm. And then if you roll two wolves, is it two?
I think it's two, yeah.
Or a certain number of wolves, your turn is then turning into the big bad wolf, and there's a, you pick someone's house to try to demolish as the wolf. So you pick someone's house, and then there's a spinner that has the components of straw, wood, and brick on it. And you actually get to blow it, like the wolf, which is adorable.
Mm-hmm.
And wherever the spinner lands, you take those elements out of whatever house it is that you pick. So you blow away those elements. But this game is so fun that I would play it without our children.
I would agree with you on that.
Yes.
We have yet to get people on board with it.
I have considered, like, bringing it out when we have friends over, because it is such a good game.
Yeah. And it plays pretty quick.
Yes.
And the dice are, I like them because they're pink.
They're hot pink.
Yeah.
They're fabulous.
They're piggy pink.
Yes.
And I just like it because there's obviously luck. You got the, you know, you get to re-roll. You get to choose which dice you want to keep and, you know, which ones you want to re-roll.
Oh, yeah.
And if you get the big bad wolf, which doesn't come up as often as you'd expect,
right.
But when you get him, you know, you get to pick, you have to point at which house you want to attack.
Yes.
And, you know, you choose, you know, you point at that one and say, okay, I'm going to pick that one. And you want to pick a house, like, might have mixed elements, so it might have a combination of, like, straw and wood, so you got a better chance of, you know, taking out some of the components of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And what's neat is the spinner is, you know, it not only represents the wolf, but it also represents the strength of the components. So there's less chance of getting brick than there is straw.
Right.
You know, straw is the most abundant thing on the thing, so, you know, you will most likely get straw over brick. Which, so it adds, to, it just takes that theme of the story and just really, it's so good.
It is so good. And, yes, I'm very impressed with how they translated the story of the Three Little Pigs into a board game. There's strategy to it. But at the same time, our oldest daughter, she can play it. No problem. No problem at all. She understands it.
I remember when we first started playing it with her, she got really hung up on the idea of, well, I know from the story, brick is the strongest.
Right.
So she just wanted to get brick.
Right.
But, you know, the more recent plays of it, she's realized that, okay, this is a game. Even though brick is the strongest, I should probably, you know, take what I can get.
Right.
You know, because she keep trying to re-roll and re-roll, and she even went to the point where she refused to take any other pieces unless it was brick.
Yes.
So it got pretty bad.
Right. Because we told her, she knew from the story that that was the best.
Yeah.
And then we told her that those were worth the most points. So you're right, she did get a little hung up on that.
But she's actually won, too, by that strategy, oddly enough, because she, you know, just from luck of rolls, managed to get a lot of brick.
And, right.
Or she took out some of Daddy's houses with the big bad wolf. but no grudges. So, but there was been...
I like when we play, when we both play with her, she will attack you and not me.
Yeah, it's
that
so
tends
cute.
To be the that tends to be the way of things.
It's a way of things and a lot of things.
That's the way of things and a lot. Yes, that's accurate.
Beat up on Daddy, but not Mommy.
Yeah. Well.
It's true.
It's true.
But that's Three Little Pigs from Yellow. I'd recommend. I agree with you. I recommend.
Get it
that
even if you don't have kids.
You don't need kids for that one.
No, definitely not.
Here's another one you don't need kids for, I don't feel.
Well.
And
well,
I
maybe.
Think a lot of people don't have kids to play this game. Lupin Louie from Hasbro. This game is amazing. You are It's pure dexterity. It's just fun.
Yes, it is. It's really just fun.
It's a crop duster in a biplane on this mechanical pendulum that spins around, and you are trying to save, stop him from hitting your chickens, which are in little chicken coops that you are that has a little flipper in front of it, so you have to knock them back up in the air.
Right. And you have to time it just right.
Yeah. We bought this game for Christmas for the girls, and everybody loves playing this game.
Everyone does. So I imagine you're thinking of this, my sister's boyfriend, so they were with us around Christmas time, and he liked playing it with them. And then he had the great idea that we should just all get drunk after the kids go to bed and play it then. We didn't do that, but maybe in the future, maybe sometime we will. Mm. It's just a very fun game.
Well, having kids and, you know, our jobs and stuff, we have to, like, schedule when we drink, so. Well, to that extent. I mean, yes. We're drinking right now, but only to, you know, for fun.
I'm empty.
You're empty? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, luckily mine is out of reach.
I could reach that.
But that is definitely a fun game to have. There's actually a Star Wars version of it, too.
Loop and Chewy. Yep, we got that for one of the nephews for Christmas. I think it was a big hit. I think it was.
I don't know. He never brought it out when we went to visit. But I like Lupin Louie a little bit better because it plays four. Lupin Chewie only plays three, which I thought was odd.
That is odd.
But it's still, you know, either theme, I feel, which is really cool about Lupin Louie, is it's genderless.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't like, oh, that's a girl's game. That's a boy's game, which I hate. I hate when they do that.
I don't feel like we have many games that are.
We don't any of our games. They're genderless.
I'm sure one day we'll have whatever the 2016 version of Blind Date or whatever that game was. The one, what was the one? The Mall Date or
Mall Madness?
Yeah, I don't know. You just got like on a phone with boys that you had a crush on.
No, that was a Mall Madness. That was. I have no idea what that is.
Okay,
I know what game you're talking about. There's a couple games like that. That's the second time someone's brought this game up to me.
Like on the podcast?
Yes. Oh. I think Walt brought it up too. One of the last few episodes. He said, we should get that game and make Devin play it. I was like, you probably would play it and win, so you'd be very good at it. No, I don't know if if that game's even in print anymore.
I don't know.
But Lupin Louie is really good and it's in print. like I was saying, the Star Wars one, I'm sure there are people out there like, oh, this is specific to Star Wars fans. But Lupin Louie, anybody can play this game and just enjoy it. It's really fun. And the girls really get into it. And our three-year-old can play it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
She, her objective is to knock the chickens down.
Yeah, she's still a little unclear on the rules to it. But she has fun playing it, which is the point.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of these games. For having fun. And it doesn't, you know, interrupt anyone else's goal.
She rarely knocks Louie into the air. I don't know if you noticed this. She rarely knocks him into the air. She waits until he comes around, and then she puts her flipper down so that he hits her chickens.
Yes,
and then when they're all gone, she goes, I win!
Yes.
Like, sweetie, that wasn't the point, but I'm glad you're having fun.
Yes. And that way everyone wins, literally. By her rules, she wins. And then,
yes. So, the next game, I've talked about this one before, but I can't stop praising it, is Outfoxed.
This is the best.
From GameRight. Outfoxed is a cooperative game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a mystery game. You're trying to solve the mystery of who stole, I forgot the name of the character, but her meat pie. Some lady made a meat pie.
I don't think it was a meat pie, because it was a chicken who made it.
Was it?
Yeah, I don't think she's making meat pies.
She made a pie.
Yeah.
Did she make? She made something, and a fox stole it. I don't know why it's a fox. The game's got something against foxes.
Well, foxes versus chickens.
I guess. Okay.
I'll help you with the theme here.
Thank you.
How much have you had to drink?
Not as much as you, but I don't know. But the game itself is you are trying to solve the mystery of who stole the pie. And the board is just this landscape. And there are different stations on it with that you put clues down on. And around the board, you put these suspect cards. Get away from my drink. You put these suspect cards. So it's a deduction game where you roll dice to say, okay, I'm going to go for clues. So you roll the dice, and you have to roll paw prints, and the amount of paw prints you roll lets you know how many spaces you can move, and you try to get to where a clue is. And when you get to the clue, you pick it up, and you have this little machine that you put the clue in, and you slide a little door, and the card that tells you who is going to be, who is the bad guy this time,
who
is the thief, there is like a color-coded thing that you'll see, and it lets you know whether yes or no they have that trait, whether they have a top hat on,
it's
or a monocle.
Accessory, yeah.
Yeah, some sort of accessory. And there's always three that they have. And so you narrow down your suspect pool. The other thing you can do is roll the dice and say you want to go looking for suspects. And when you get the correct amount of dice for suspects, which is eyes, you flip over the cards, and you get to flip over two cards when you do that. So you get to see more of the suspects and see more of the people and what they're wearing. And it's really neat deduction game.
Yes.
You know, the little mechanism, the gimmick of opening up the door and seeing, you know, the color coding. It's weird, though, because red is yes and green is no.
Yes.
But that other than that, it's really cool. And, you know, Lily, especially, she really gets into it. You know, she plays it by herself. I've caught her in her room.
Yes.
You know, caught her playing it, which is pretty cute.
And she's taught her cousin, who's about the same age as her, she taught him how to play. And they played it together. Yes, without us even being there. So I will say that this game is very easy, and that I don't know that I've ever played it and not won. It's a cooperative game, but I don't think we've ever played and not won. But
yeah, if you
I don't
mind.
If you
roll the correct thing that you said you're going to do, and you get, you know, Yahtzee style, you get to re-roll twice, if you're going for the paw prints or the eyes. If you don't roll the everything of one, there's a little fox token that moves along a track. And if he gets all the way to the end of the track, it means he escaped with the pie.
Yes.
That's how you lose. But we've never done that.
Not even gotten close. Yeah. But regardless, but I actually think that makes it still a good kids game because it's not too high intensity in terms of, oh my gosh, are we going to make it? Are we going to lose? And there's still enough strategy and teamwork and cooperation. And each time it could be a different character. It could be a different fox. So it's not boring because it's easy to win. It's still worth playing. There's still value to playing, I think.
Yeah, and there's enough different characters, different foxes, that you could have
fun
with this for a while.
Yeah.
Before you know, it's not like there's only three suspects, so you know it's going to be one of them. No, there's like 20.
And the accessories, so there are, you know, probably three foxes who have a flower, and there are, you know, three foxes who wear a monocle. So it's not like, oh, you get the monocle and you're like, oh, I know who this is because we got that person last time. It, you know, they all have a few accessories on. Three, right?
Yeah.
Three accessories on. So you can't guess just right off the bat with one.
No. It's a good game.
It is a very good game.
It's probably my favorite that she owns right now. I was really glad I bought it. I can't say anything bad about it, honestly.
It's great.
I mean, of all the games that we've listed so far, like, there are parts of them I don't like, but this one is just a really good... It's a really good game, but it's really good for kids.
Yes. The only downside, I would say, it's a very difficult game to play with our younger daughter, with our three-year-old. So, for a three-year-old, maybe not the best game.
Yeah, four or five and up, I would
say.
Yeah. She's getting there.
Yeah, she'll
but she jumps in and out of the game. She doesn't...
Right.
Which I'm okay with.
And because it's cooperative, you can kind of do that. Because then it's, all right, if she leaves, then we just keep carrying on doing what we're doing.
It was funny when she doesn't quite get the concept of spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, you rolled four paw prints. Where do you want to go? I want to go to the carnival over here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, so we'll move you four spaces. No, and she'll grab her paw and just move the thing halfway across the board.
Right.
You know, it's right there. I can move it. See, like, this is it. You know, that's a difficult part. But Lily had trouble with that, too, with spaces.
Yes.
You know, one of the games we kind of skipped over on the list, Don't Let the Pigeon Drive the Bus.
Oh.
I don't know if you had a problem with that, but
she
always had trouble with the spaces on the board. Just didn't get that she had to count them out and
move
along.
Yes, and they're clearly defined, but not in the way that I mean, Candyland, the spaces are so clearly defined because they're all a different color.
Yeah, there's a positive thing about Candyland.
You're welcome.
All clearly defined.
So I think that can have an effect. And in Fox, the spaces are even less defined because it's sort
a very
of grid,
narrow grid yeah.
over a scene, you know, over a landscape. So I think that's part of the issue with that.
But
still would
with
definitely
guidance,
recommend
she plays
it. Yes.
It so. Yeah. A three-year-old could play it. A three-year-old with more patience could play it well. But she's learning. She jumps in and out of the game, which is, I think, part of the cooperative nature, like you said.
Yes.
So the last game we have listed here is Hey, That's My Fish.
And this game, we don't actually own the board game version of.
Nope.
You have the app.
I have the app version on my tablet, yeah.
I like this game a lot. I could play it for, like, hours sitting on my phone.
Yeah. This is one of those app versions of the games. It's worth every penny. I think it's, like, $2 on the Play Store. I don't know what it costs on Apple. But it's just a really good value. And especially after seeing pictures of the original game, which people love. Hey, That's My Fish. But it's so... How did you word it? Fiddly bits?
Fiddly bits.
I just like when you say that. It's just cute. It's got a lot of fiddly bits. I know. So, because it's all these little tiles that represent a melting iceberg, and on them are different amounts of fish. You know, it could have one, two, or three fish, and you have little penguins that you control. I think you have two.
I think it depends on how many people are playing.
Yeah, and you move the penguin in straight lines across these hex tiles that represent the iceberg. And if they have no more places to go, the penguin falls into the ocean, essentially. So it's kind of it's a really cool strategic movement game, and you have two penguins to work with. So you have to decide which one you're going to move on your turn. Mm-hmm. But as people move around, they cut you off on where you can go. But each time you step off of a tile, you get to take that tile, and however many fish are on it, that adds up to your points at the end. So the actual board game version of this, to me, would be a nightmare because there are tons of tiles that you have
right.
to
and you'd have
shuffle
to line them up,
and
right?
line them up and sort yeah. them out. And if you like doing that, great. But the app version eliminates all that nonsense and you just get to play over and over and over again, which is great.
Plus, there's this great animation.
Oh, yeah.
If your penguin is, you know, left on his little ice block and it's the last one and he's not connected anymore to anything and there's nowhere for him to go... What happens is he flies up into the air and looks really scared and comes back down into a killer whale's mouth.
Yeah. He gets eaten.
He gets eaten. And
but it's adorable.
It is. It's cute animation. It's not too terrifying, but also scientifically accurate. So science.
Of course. Yeah, they learned something. And I'm not scared at all that our five-year-old laughs hysterically when they get eaten
well,
every time.
Well, it's hysterical.
It is pretty funny.
It's cute.
Yeah.
And there's a little, like, yelp. Oh, it sounds horrible. It sounds
it really
awful.
Does.
Watch it, okay? It's not as bad as it sounds.
We're going to PETA on us now.
Well, it's natural. It's natural that this does happen in the wild.
It does, yeah. It's cute. It's a really fun, easy game to play.
Mm-hmm.
And she's getting pretty good at it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's our list for kids' games, unless there's anything else you want to add.
There was another game, but...
What?
Because you mentioned game, right?
Bonus games.
Bonus game. I thought of it, and you talked about addition.
Sleeping Queens.
Sleeping Queens.
Ah.
Yep. So Sleeping Queens is a card game, and I think it was created by, like, a little girl, too, which is kind of cool, that she, like, had a dream or something and came up with this idea for this card game. So there are a bunch of queen cards that are face down. And they're the Sleeping Queens. And you get cards in your hand that either have numbers on them, or they have, some have spells or potions, magic wands. There's a joker in it, and there's a king. If you have a king card, you can wake one of the Sleeping Queens and take her. And the idea is to get five Sleeping Queens. Now you also have dragons and knights, so you can steal other people's queens that they have. Or block them from
that
being stolen.
Harsh.
What, stealing the Sleeping Queen? Well, I guess they're not queen. Sleeping anymore. They're awake at that point. But you can steal someone's queen
with
the knight.
Come with me if you want to live.
Or, but if you have a dragon, you can block the knight from taking your queen. And then there's a sleeping potion where you can put someone else's queen back to sleep, so they go back to the middle. But if you have a magic wand, you can stop that from happening. But there are the number cards you can either, you can trade in. So if you have three number one cards, you can trade those in and pick up three new cards. Or you can have a one card, a three card, and a four card. And because one plus three equals four, you can trade in all three to pick up three new cards. So that's sort of an interesting aspect to it. We don't really play with that aspect. I've been trying to start to incorporate that. But you could definitely, you could skip it. You could definitely skip that part of it.
Have I played, I played it once, mm-hmm. right?
I think you've played it.
Yeah, I don't remember. I think she taught it to me or tried to teach it to me.
Yeah, yeah. She's good like that.
Yeah. But I haven't played it since then. I think she lost some of her cards, actually. Because she
Great.
Takes it down and plays it. I'll have to go through the set. I did like it. I think I liked it when we played. I don't remember.
Yeah.
It sounds fun, though.
Yeah, it's not my favorite, but it's okay. Yeah. And I like the
Game math. Has a lot of good games.
Yeah, I like the math aspect to it. But probably more for down the line a bit when she gets better at math. Or it comes easier to her. Though, like I said, we are starting to, or I'm trying to start to incorporate that aspect in the game. But that's a good one. That's a good bonus game.
Bonus game.
Yeah. And it's just cards. I would say it's not difficult to lose or clean up, but I would be wrong, clearly, because apparently she's already lost some of the cards.
Well, I don't know if she did. She takes the games off her shelf and she plays with them right. when we're not around.
Right.
And loses pieces. So.
Yes.
That's why Daddy's games are down in the stairs where they can't get to them.
Yes.
So they don't lose the pieces. Yeah. Like they did with Get Bit.
All the fiddly bits.
All the fiddly bits.
Yep.
Yeah. It's going to be a new sound bite for our opening.
You're welcome.
Yeah. I'm gonna edit that in. All the fiddly bits.
Great.
All right.
You ready to wrap it up?
I'm going to wrap it up. Yeah.
And that wraps up this episode of Bored with Friends. If you have questions to ask, grievances to make, or comments to deliver, feel free to contact us at boardwithfriends42@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @boardwithfriend, or like us on Facebook. If you enjoyed our show, check out some of the other great podcasts on the Friends on a Couch network, like Talk Wrestle Talk. Until next time, thanks for listening.